From listener-supported KTOO, welcome to Juno Afternoon, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Occoquan and on demand as a podcast. It's Thursday, June 27th, and I'm your host for today, Andy Klein Gunashish, and thank you for joining the conversation. And on today's show, the Juno Live TV production camp is coming up. Your kid can participate by signing up for the program. That's going to be happening in mid-July. And then the Juno Community Foundation contributes so many parts of our community, including encouraging individual artists with grant programs, and we're going to discuss that. And then get ready to listen to some Outkast and Jay-Z. The JDHS class of 2004 is getting ready to hold their 20th reunion. We'll hear all about it. We might even have to throw in some Hoobastank. That's just a threat. We won't play Hoobastank. Those conversations are coming up this hour on Juno Afternoon. I hope you'll join us.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com.
And K2 would like to acknowledge that we broadcast from the homelands of the Occoquan. The Kliniedi have stewarded this land for thousands of years. Today, our studios sit on a spot that was once part of the Tidelands and is now covered over with buildings, roads, and parking lots. We recognize those families who travel to and from these Tidelands to fishing and hunting grounds and to gatherings in other villages and still cherish it as an important part of their way of life for today and for future generations.
Hansen Gress, Ka eat with the shoe ye, we kashuk a ye tin. Jin kat ka ke jin ta kanakaya ha anikach gunish cheese.
Well, welcome back. You're listening to Juno Afternoon from Studio 2K here at KTOO. I'm your host, Andy Klein, and Juno Live is a TV production camp that's happening again this summer. It's at the Resurrection Lutheran Church, and with us right now is Reverend Karen Perkins, a pastor of the Resurrection Lutheran Church. I'm sorry, I'll get that out at some point. April Dooley is also here, and Bradley Perkins, they're helping run the program. Thanks to all of you for coming. Welcome.
Thank you.
We are thrilled to be here, and both April and Brad are members and great volunteers at Resurrection. We don't use the, but it's okay.
Oh, okay.
We know what you're talking about.
Resurrection. Okay. No, the. That's like Pretenders is a great band. No, not the Pretenders, just Pretenders.
Is it really?
Well, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Isn't that up? There you go.
Wow. So, yeah, we're really excited to be doing the camp again because this is our second year and the second time this
third
year.
Third year.
It is already.
I remember talking about it last year. I remember you came in with some students, I think, last year.
Yeah,
that was really exciting and fun to talk to folks about that. But yeah, so now you've got a little bit of routine developed.
And also because we had the opportunity to work with the charter school on taking the camp and stretching it out into a semester course.
Oh, that's
for them.
Cool.
The units are broken out a little bit differently, but it was also helpful in saying, oh, how we might want to rework some of the way we do it. In general, though, people are still going to be invited to learn every behind the scene task that's required for live studio production, audio and visual studio production.
I mean, I remember when I was an AV geek. Uh-huh. I was an AV in high school and middle school. And the idea, for instance, of like, you're going to learn how to be a showrunner. Well, that was nothing. That probably wasn't even a term back then. I remember that being a more recent term.
Yes.
So that's an area that you're kind of doing. Is that right?
Are you I'm a retired high school choir director. So we did a lot of shows. So I think the showrunning describes what's going on, what we're doing. But this is a television production camp. Fully packed together, and it is an intense, immersive experience for these kids. They get to do everything behind the scenes, and that's what's incredible for me to help them do. Is they're not just watching and learning; they're immediately touching equipment and running it. Day one, they put on a show. And they're required to do it every day. And first day, of course, they're scared.
Yeah.
And
it's intimidating, you know, all the equipment.
But as soon as they start realizing that they get to run it, they're not just learning. It's their show. They get to do what they want to do. And to see that it was actually successful, you know, a few crash and burns, but that's sure. that's with any group. And to learn immediately and to bounce back. And I have to say that it's great to see them so excited and energized, and not it's not a sit back kind of academic thing. They're doing it right on, doing it on the fly.
Yeah,
doing it on the fly, and we really focus on the fact that it requires collaboration to do any type of live production. But the studio production work that is it's non-competitive. It's one of those things you really have to be part of the team and be tuned into your team. And different people gravitate towards different skills. So on their final production, they, you know, they get to say, this is my preference. If I get you, I would like to do the sound. I would like to be a camera operator. I'd like to be floor manager. I'd like to be, and fun to see them just express their interest. And they've had little practices along the way during their weekly or their daily broadcasts.
Yeah, there's so many distinct skills that go into actually doing a program on television. And each one of them requires a different, you know, kind of aptitude. And some of them overlap, but some of them don't.
Yes.
And so, and it's also really interesting to think about that idea of like, well, there's the production people. There might be like what we call the talent, the people that are on air. And then there's the people who are kind of managing it all, show running or doing those different parts of it, calling out from the control room.
We do craft
things.
Services. And because I also have a background in theater and makeup and lighting design, I do the makeup and how studio makeup washes you out. And there are people who are really interested in doing, you know, a little bit of studio makeup practice.
Do you do set design as well? Is that part of it, or you just kind of have the set as it is?
It's a little bit. Yeah. I mean, they have to build a set, but we help them. So they're not doing it from scratch, but they're seeing. So the first day I may lay it out and say, hey, this is what our set looks like today. And what do you want to do tomorrow? And they can do anything they want. If we've got the set, we'll do it. We'll build it.
Describe the facility a little bit.
Sure.
Yeah.
So the church sort of accidentally ended up with this television studio. When, you know, COVID hit, we had to start broadcasting. And my background, I had some background in television production, worked in small market television production, among other things. And so we got grants. And so we ended up with this full TV studio. And then we started broadcasting shows because there was no place to do anything in town. We ended up with actually 12 different TV shows in production during COVID. And then we also wanted to start teaching. So we got these grants from the Youth Activity Board to do this thing. And so we've been doing that. And so it is a full-blown TV studio. We have five floor cameras, and we've got other cameras. We've got a crane camera, and we've got a full booth with a big mixing board and a TV direction. So it really is the equivalent of a small market television production studio.
And it's set up in our sanctuary space, which just happened to have the best acoustics in town because of the way it's built.
I've been to some concerts there, and it's beautiful. As you say, it's a fantastic facility for sound quality.
It is, yeah. which is another reason that the studio was so important to us is that there are so many artists, performing artists in town that weren't able to perform, and there were so many people at home who weren't able to engage with community activities, and so it grew into that. But we also realized how transferable these skills are and how many places in Juneau can use some people with some of these skills, or people are making podcasts or doing
sophisticated
other types
Zoom
of,
calls, even things like that,
exactly.
Connecting events. Yeah,
we still do all that. So we had a period a month or so ago where we did five different productions in a row for various studios and things like that. We were part of Juneau Jazz and Classics, and we still go out and do things like they wanted us to come out and help with their final concert at the Centennial Hall. So we brought our equipment out there and we did the final concert, and we had, you know, five cameras out there to do that for them. time. So
and one of our repeat students who became a mentor and then faculty also there to help with
that. Wow, that's
with
great. That. Yeah. Fantastic. So, there it is, in action, happening, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, wow. Right. Wow.
Yeah. So the format of the camp is we actually run two camps in parallel. The camp's entirely free. You can register at showrunnercamp.org. It's paid for by the citizens of Juneau through the Youth Activity Board grant. And so, and we have a camp for the older kids, for middle school and high school kids. And that one runs all day. Then we also been running since last year a studio apprentice camp, a half day camp for, you know, mature second graders through sixth graders. That's a half day. And at the end of their camp, they do a talk cooking show. In front of a studio audience. In the older camp, they do a full rock concert on Friday night, sponsored by Keith Giles, Alaska Music One. Four big bands come in, full studio audience. They do it all themselves. We stand back and they fill all the production roles, and it's a hell of a concert. Those concerts get like 1,000 views or more. And so big event.
Yeah.
And that stays on YouTube forever. And so you get a production credit in the role, and it's a big deal. And that's a great thing to do. The bands like to be part of it.
And besides the skills that April teaches and I teach as well with makeup, and customer service is also a big thing for us. We focus on, and Brad teaching technical skills. And I still don't think anybody loves the copyright law class. But anyway,
copyright law class. The kids go crazy.
I'm also a patent attorney and IP attorney. But we also have professionals come in. Keith comes in, teaches
Absolutely.
Sound.
Oh,
that's
we
cool. That's a great teach, opportunity.
Come yeah. in, teach wow. camera work. So we have professionals
so much
come in teaching.
Incredible talent. In Juneau,
yes.
Just really so many talented people, and we're fortunate to have them come and teach the segments, and then the gifted bands that come and volunteer, and we've had several of them say, "I am willing to come back whenever you want," because they're so great with the youth and excited about them having this opportunity to learn.
And we've had so many adults ask about it. We're going to probably run this course for the community as over an evening a week in the fall, so anyone can come in and take the course.
Definitely say that that's a need out there as well. Just even filtering over into doing productions here at the 360 North Studio and that kind of thing. People are really fascinated with television production in general. I was asking about sets because I'm sure I remember the first time I went to a television set, I was in high school or something, and it is just, you really realize the illusion of television is really amazing, you know?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. And so, as you said, you have a kind of a set design in mind, but they actually put the set together.
Oh, yeah, they do.
Yeah.
And I remember I was building a set with the students, and then Brad walked in. He goes, "Nah, we got to do a few things a little bit different," because he's really an expert at that. And so the kids learned, hey, you know, I'm learning too. We're all at different levels, and I'm showing you what I know. But he just polished it up. And that speaks to all of the experience that he has. And so the kids see, hey, we're all learning too. We don't know. We're not experts at all of this. We each have our own specialty.
There's lighting considerations, sound considerations, all that kind of stuff when you're building those sets.
Well, I'm just thinking about what color background are you going to pick and why? And and that's really, it's one of those things, if you haven't been part of it, that you learn, oh, and now I get to steam the background and and move the couch over this way. So yeah, it's really, I have learned every single course that
absolutely,
we taught.
Absolutely. And so thankful for the professionals that come in, that we want every single section to be taught by the best person that's available. And
there's a lot of them in Juneau. It's incredible, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Mentioning Keith Giles is just an example of someone who's absolutely top of their field. And can kind of handle anything. I've seen him handle so many and work with him on
goodness.
So many different concerts.
He
doesn't miss a beat, doesn't get nervous. I'm you know, helping with stage management, going, this is our crisis. And he's like, we got this.
And because we're all learning together, one of the things that's fabulous is we love to have repeat participation for
Absolutely.
Kids who started in whichever segment to continue on. And if they're ready to become mentors, to the next group of kids that comes in, because it's it really is all of us learning and figuring things out. And as you know, when something's live, you figure out how to make it work. And that's going to be different depending on who your crew is.
Can you go through one more time for me the age groups and sort of what times, you know, if someone's listening right now and they've got a kid that's a, you know, some certain age group and they're interested in this, how would that all divide out?
Sure. Yeah. So first of all, the camp is coming up in mid-July. The camp is the July 15th through the 19th. Registration's open now. Go to showrunnercamp.org to register. You learn a lot more about the camp, you know, and you can also call me, and that's 808-782-5795. And so the age groups are the Studio Apprentice Camp is a half-day camp. It goes from 9 in the morning till about 12:30 in the afternoon. We feed everybody breakfast and lunch. And so they get the same curriculum. They just get a little bit, not quite the depth of the older kids. Some of the classes are shared, some are not. And then the Showrunner Camp is for middle school through high school, including if you just graduated high school or you're starting middle school. And that runs from 9 until, you know, 4:30 in the afternoon each day. And they get to do on Friday, they do a big concert. Now, there's a tech rehearsal on Thursday night with the bands. And then on Friday night, the concert's at 7 o'clock.
And it's so important for people to know that we're trying to be as inclusive as possible. So if there are students with special needs, we actually have a consulting a teacher who's a specialist in special ed and try to help figure out what is a way to include somebody maybe who is going to be able to approach the material differently. So we want to include those students as well. It's helpful if we know kind of what's mm-hmm. what's coming, but we're all special, so we figure that out as well.
Yes, that's right. That's a good way of putting it. Yeah. Well, again, it's the TV production camps. And it's the Juno Life Studio. Now, I know you guys also have a really, people already kind of know about this, I
yes,
think.
Yes.
But let's talk about 4th of July.
4th of July is, years ago, Bill Johnson started this free hot dog ministry, and it has continued on. It has become part of an overall nourishing ministry that we focus on at the church. But it's free hot dogs on 4th of July, and we're right at the intersection of 10th and Glacier, which I tell people is perfect because as they return to their vehicles after the parade downtown, but are heading towards the events in Douglas, that we are a great stop along the way. And it's a great opportunity to visit. We include popcorn and cookies if we have them, and cold drinks and an opportunity to visit. But mostly it's just a whole lot of fun to stop. And I've had many people say, I don't eat hot dogs, but I always come by.
Oh, yeah. And you don't know you need a hot dog until you start smelling the hot dogs.
Yeah.
And you're like, I think I need a hot dog.
Yeah, we got hot
but,
dogs. Yeah.
And I also say, don't be discouraged by the construction on 10th Street, because if you're a pedestrian, you can just walk right through
Absolutely.
There and go through the parking lot.
Absolutely.
There. And so, yeah, you can
and
get
you can
over
also
there.
Pick up brochures for the camp. We'll have brochures and
okay.
camp and registration materials there, or you can come in and see the studio. We'll give you a tour of the studio that day.
Oh, that's a good opportunity.
And we also have a live feed of the of what's going on at the Hot Dog Fest all day, so you can tune in on your phone on our YouTube
channel.
Is there
any contests or anything
no,
like that?
No, contests. Okay. But you can watch
Stay away from
going.
That.
Yeah, but you can watch what's going on, but it's all free.
All
yeah,
free.
That's
we,
great.
We,
that's
we,
great.
Everything's yeah. free, yeah.
That's fantastic. Well, so the hot dogs, that's coming up sooner. It's on the 4th, the 4th of July parade, of course. It's free hot dogs over at Resurrection Lutheran Church. And that's on the corner of 10th and
Glacier.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I should know. I live right in that neighborhood, 10th and Glacier.
Right.
And then also kind of the big thing we're talking about today, too, is also the TV production camps. Those start July 15th, but sign up for them now. And what's a good place to go if people want to find out more information on the camp?
Showrunnercamp.org. You know, it will be the place to go, and you can get all the materials about the camp. You can register, and also you can get more information there, including how to contact me to get more information.
All right. That's great. Well, Reverend Karen Perkins, April Dooley, and Bradley Perkins, thanks so much for coming in, telling us all about it. Thanks for running the camp. What a fun different sort of approach to summer camps and a great vocation and just a great lifelong hobby that people can have. And be, you know, get into that world of television. It's a really it's an exciting thing. And there's so many different parts of skill sets that come into play when you're doing a television production. It's really a great learning opportunity. Awesome to hear that you guys are doing it.
Thank you so much for having us. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Again, it's the Juno Live TV production camp, and you can go to showrunnercamp.com.
org.
Showrunnercamp.org to find out more information all about it. Let's listen now to some Star Party from the Juno Planet.
Let's have a star party. This is Steve Kosos with the Marie Drake Planetarium. I'm going to talk about different patterns of the moon. As seen from space, the moon takes 27.3 days to orbit around the Earth. However, the time from full moon to full moon is 29 and a half days, 2 days longer. Why is that? Because as the moon is orbiting the Earth is also orbiting the sun. So over time, we see the moon from different angles. Another pattern of the moon is the supermoon. And the moon's orbit around the Earth is an ellipse, a squash circle, which means that the distance between the Earth and the moon varies. When we have a full moon that occurs when the moon is closest to the Earth, that's called a supermoon. Another pattern is a blue moon. It is the second full moon that occurs in a calendar month when we have two full moons in a calendar month. And that happens about every 2 years. And it comes from the phrase, once in a blue moon, about a rare event. Now, one of the rarest patterns is a super blue blood moon. So what that is when a lunar eclipse occurs, when the moon is fully in totality, the Earth's shadow, the umbra, dark part of the shadow, it's called a blood moon. And if that happens when the full moon is the closest approach, and also the second full moon in a calendar month, that's a super blue blood moon. This is Steve Kosos with the Marie Drake Planetarium. Public shows are on our website at mariedrakeplanetarium.org. Thank you.
That star party there from Juno Planetarium. Thanks so much for that. Well, we have folks here from the Juno Community Foundation now. Christy Chambor is here and Sandra Hello. Lane, who's a board leader for the arts. Hello to both of you.
Hello, Andy.
So good to see you both again.
Yes. Nice to be here.
You've been back from world travels. I know. Very exciting.
I was on the Chemin du Vignoble.
Well, I don't even know what that means.
I just learned how to pronounce that.
Well, that was very impressive.
Thank you.
Well done. Christy, maybe I'll start with you. Just we're talking a little bit about, I mean, number one, the Juno Community Foundation does so many things. It's hard to keep track. Of all the different amazing areas where you guys,
because we love our community,
absolutely,
Andy.
I feel that. So, but this one thing we wanted to talk about today, make sure we talk about, and Sandra can talk about it as well. But it is the Arts Vibrancy Endowment Individual Artist Awards Grant Program.
Yes.
So, give me a little bit of just an overall picture of what that grant program is about. What's trying to be accomplished there?
Sure. So the whole point of the Arts Vibrancy Endowment is really to support local Juno-based artists in their work and for it to continue on for years and years to come. So this program, which we've been running since 2020 and which has granted to date over $115,000 directly to artists. Every year we look at it, we see what we can do, what the community needs, and we run this program. So this year, as you said, we've got the four $2,500 grants, the one $5,000 grant, and we want artists to reach out, tell us what they're doing, talk to us about the projects that they're interested in doing and how we can help.
I love how it's not limited to any one type. It's not visual arts. It could be performance arts. It could be anything. And Sandra, you were saying this is a developing program.
Yeah, it a few years back, I mean, I feel a little bit like I've pushed for this endowment at the JCF, which is we had an arts project fund, but I felt an endowment was necessary because the Juneau arts community is so vibrant and is so beautiful. It's so varied. You know, there's fabric arts, there's visual arts, there's theater arts, there's music, which is seems nonstop. It's so beautiful. And I remember when I came here in 78, one of the things that impressed me the most about Juneau was how artsy it was and how many the different types of arts and cultural arts, where, you know, the Native Forum line and all this music is just never, always nonstop.
It is true. It seems like every person you know has a secret talent.
Yeah.
Right.
You know,
that
comes out.
They're like, also, I'm an artist, by the way.
That's right.
It comes
I'm
out
amazing.
In this community.
Yeah.
You know? It just comes out. And, you know, with the talk about the new Jack, with the talk about performing arts centers and all of that, at some point, young, new, starving artists will need places to exhibit and perform. And one of the things I thought is if we had had an endowment that could help young artists cover performance fees and things like that for you know, any new performance centers, that it would be very helpful. In the meantime, while we're trying to build this into a $4 million endowed fund, and of which we're about 25% of the way at this point, we feel it's highly appropriate just to go ahead and do individual artist awards,
yep.
which is what we've been doing now for a few years since the inception.
Well, that's an interesting thing, Sandra, because we got plenty of time to talk about the awards themselves and how to apply and things like that. But talk to me a little bit about this endowment. Can people be involved in contributing specifically to that endowment?
Yeah. And it would be my hope and the hope of the endowment that if you want to see this kind of support for the local arts for the long in the future, that you feel free to contribute. This is not a donation request by any stretch, but it's one of the buttons you can click on the JCF website if you feel so inclined to donate or to make a donation. If you want to support the arts in Juneau for the long term, then you endow the funds so that they're there. Earning invested income and are able to distribute and put funds into the arts community forever, which is certainly a plan that I have is to make funds long into the future after I'm gone.
Is the hope that these individual artist grants can grow in size and
Absolutely.
Frequency and things like that?
Yeah.
Well, when we get, I did a little analysis on this before just to figure out the number. Between the project fund and the endowment, we've been putting somewhere between $150,000 and $200,000 a year through JCF into the arts community, something around that number.
Wow.
Yeah.
For the size of this community, that's
huge.
Incredibly
yeah.
significant. Yeah. yeah.
Well,
yeah.
to do that with an endowed fund, you'd need about, at 5%, you'd need about a $4 million principal, you know, earning body.
So that's the target. That's why that target
is
there.
And then we could do the $200,000 a year forever. So we're
getting there.
Yeah, we're getting there. We're about 800,000.
It's exciting to think about these goals, but it's also, I mean, that's one of the things I think the Juneau Community Foundation has done is it's allowed a focus for people that are wondering, what should I do? Or I have the ability to help in some way. What should I do? The Juneau Community Foundation has allowed this ability to focus that yeah. funding and to grow it in a way that's kind of consolidated.
Yeah, and yeah. I'm you know, there are many valuable and worthy projects that a person could get involved in. The arts is one. There's education, there's parks and trails, and then there's the Hope Fund.
Yeah, and health and social services.
That's our biggest of mm-hmm. all, of course. And But, you know, my particular heart falls squarely and dearly on the arts, because I think a vibrant art community in Juneau means a vibrant and healthy community for all here, especially for the youth. And it's, in my eyes, it's hard to separate that from education. Arts and education mm-hmm. are really very closely linked. And so I feel we need to have a good and a vibrant arts.
Well, it feels like private endowments, private funding for arts has had to become more and more significant, as that's kind of been taken out of a lot of the kind of public school systems. Talk to me a little bit, Christy, about how if someone's listening to this and they're getting excited and they're like, who are you looking for? What's the type of people you're looking for? What are the type of artists or who should think about applying to this?
Artists.
Andy, I think we've been saying artists.
Local Juneau-based artists. They cannot have received funding from us previously through this grant program to apply. But we're looking for all art forms. I mean, we're open.
I mean, I saw a beautiful pottery exhibit done by Bonnie Lynn Parker.
And there's some really great examples on the website. So if you go to junocf.org and then under grants and scholarships will be like a quick way to click on the individual artist award. And from that page, you can see who we've granted to in the past, which I think is always a good way to get a feel for the types of projects that we've funded in the past and might inspire what you want to do in the future,
and then
where
what,
this might apply.
Yeah, right. And then what sort of expectations are there of the artist once they receive this funds? Is it just here's funds, or is there certain criteria, expectations, things like that to fulfill the grant?
We do require a grant report. It's nothing crazy. We want to know. Like, we want to know more about how the experience was for you. We want to know how this is going to further your career. We want to get excited about your project. I think that, you know, over the last couple of years, we've had some really great opportunities to partner with artists, because it really is a partnership. We're like, we're here. We want to see this arts community grow. We have these grants available. Frank Katas has been a previous recipient. Aaron Heist, Annie Bartholomew, more recently, Josh Fortenberry. You know, and he said something very recently, working on a newsletter, and you know, he was saying that, like, yeah, it's great to support the artist as an individual, but what it has done for developing collaborations in the community is even bigger. And I think that that's really critical.
That's an interesting thing.
Yeah.
The question I had was about, is this something that people kind of need an individual or specific project to apply for, or is it something that can be a part of a larger thing that they're doing, or... Tell me about that. Yeah.
Well, usually it's generally what we've done is people have come with project oriented grant applications,
okay.
You know, like I need to print this book, or I need to, you know, frame these 60th for an exhibition or something
right.
like that, something real tangible. We do like to get a follow up letters about them, but they're really, no, we just write the check and we give it to the artist and we expect them to do what they said they were going to do with the
yes.
grant application, which, you know, artists are a little different. When you talk about things like parks and trails, those are project specific. We're going to build a cabin.
There's engineers involved.
Yeah,
right.
they're
used
gonna
to
do this. When you talk about artist grants,
reports.
You know, you have to be slightly more creative.
So I think that's such a key thing, though, because I've talked to a lot of friends who've gotten lots of different types of grants through the years. And sometimes the grant is so cumbersome
right.
to fulfill the requirements of the grant. It's almost like they're like, oh, brother, I almost wish I hadn't gotten the money.
Exactly. You know? Or it like deters you from even applying for it. You're
right.
like, you know what? This is too much work. And
right.
I think and I hope that we've sort of pared it down to make it as accessible as possible.
I mean,
there are things we have to have.
I'm sure this is frontline stuff you talk about all the day
at the
Community Foundation.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure that's something that is... You know, I think that it may, you know, obviously you have to make sure the money is you know, use in a responsible way.
And exactly. That's
terrific. But yeah, right.
Yeah. And I brought the application. It's not too complicated. And you can get it on our website. It's 2 pages. It has everything you need on it. And we're always available for questions. In fact, I love when artists reach out because it does give us a chance to like better understand what their vision is and like how and if this grant can help them. Because if it's something that maybe doesn't quite fit, then we don't want them to to take the time. They need to look at other entities who might be able to provide grant funding. And we try to connect them to what they need.
And some of the nuts and bolts are that the applications are open now. It's going to be through 5 o'clock on August 15th, 2024. And there's 4 separate awards at $2,500 each. And then there's 1 award at $5,000.
Correct.
So, and as you were saying, all art forms, everything's included.
Right.
If you can call it art.
Yes.
Apply for a grant.
That's a very good point.
Yeah.
There are some things that we debate whether it's art or not, you know? Which is actually quite fun.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Very esoteric, yes, conversations to have on a board that's granting money. So, that's pretty cool. Well, anything else that you want to talk about that's happening with the Community Foundation in general? We have just maybe 3 or 4 minutes just to kind of cover other major things? Are there other deadlines that people should be aware of?
Well, I think it's good to just, check in on the website, look at what we have going on. If you've got, high school aged children or younger artists in your household, we do have scholarship funds that may be of interest to them. It's always good to like scout out what might be available as they're coming into their senior year. And the Margaret Franz Brady Award, those are for art camps for kids and teens. That type of thing. The HOPE grants, of course, that's for health and social service organizations. That's pretty dialed in. But just to get a feel for what we do and how we do it, it's always good to pop over to junocf.org and take a look.
Such an incredible resource and such an incredible foundation operating in Juneau. And in a really short amount of time, actually. Right?
I mean, Andy, 25 years.
We're coming on next year is our anniversary.
25th anniversary.
Yeah. 25th anniversary.
Well,
we just had a meeting about it today. We're so I'm so excited about what we've got cooking. But I won't say. But it is really exciting. It's just, it makes you so proud to see like from where they started to where the foundation is now and
well, everything. The thumbprint of the foundation is on projects and artwork and buildings and things across this community in really big ways and significant ways. Yeah, incredible. But okay, so the Juneau Community Foundation Arts Vibrancy Endowment Individual Artist Award Grant Program.
Excellent.
It's open now.
Thank you, Andy.
You got to go to junocf.org.
Yep.
Is the place to go to find out more about it. And as you were saying, Christy, it's worth just checking it out and just seeing if you've got something. It's been backburnered for a while.
Maybe you're one of those secret artists that we all love is thinking about a show and you're like, oh, I don't know. Am I enough of an artist to like apply for a grant? Yes. The answer is yes.
Yeah.
Apply.
Yeah. Apply for the grant. And
simple process.
Again, four grant awards at $2,500 each and then five awards in total. One,
correct.
And a $5,000 award as the kind of one larger award as well. And like you say, it's part of having provided over $115,000 directly to artists through this grant through the past. Is it been how many years?
Since the inception of the endowment, it's been about 4 years.
Just 4 years?
Yes.
Wow.
Not even. Yeah. Just barely. Yeah.
Amazing.
And that was, through COVID too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. Well, so good to talk to both of you, as
always.
Thank you, Andy. Thanks.
Christy Chambora and Sandra Lane, both with the Juneau Community Foundation. And again, you can go to junocf.org to find out more about these Arts Vibrancy Individual Artist Award grants that are open now through the application period through August 15th. So go check it out. Thanks to both of you and also your special secret guest.
Thank you.
Here for
thanks,
coming
Andy.
In. We're going to hear next from Sounds Wild.
Sounds Wild. Hi, I'm Riley Woodford for the Alaska Department of Fish and Game.
On a spring day in interior Alaska, the call of sandhill cranes carries across a wet sedge meadow. This crane and her mate recently arrived from their wintering grounds in New Mexico, and they're here in Alaska to nest and raise a brood of chicks over the summer. These cranes spent the last 3 weeks flying almost 3,500 miles in their annual spring migration. This spring marks the 10th year this pair has made this journey. Sandhill cranes can fly up to 35 miles an hour and cover 300 miles a day, up to 500 miles a day with a good tailwind. When they migrate, they fly at a much higher altitude than most migrating birds, 2 or even 3 miles off the ground. They also cover remarkable distances. Some sandhill cranes migrate one way more than 5,000 miles. Although these cranes spent the winter on the upper Rio Grande River in New Mexico, many of the sandhill cranes that summer in Alaska spend winters in Nebraska near the Platte River, specifically the Sand Hills region of Nebraska, which is where they get their name, sandhill cranes. For Sounds of Wild, I'm Riley Woodford.
You're listening to Juno Afternoon from Studio 2K at KTOO. I'm your host, Andy Klein. Can you believe that song, Hey Ya, is 20 years old? Well, I can tell you who can believe it. It's Shannon Crossley is here, who graduated class of 2004 from JDHS and is helping put on the reunion. Shannon, how you doing?
Hey, doing good.
It's a little bit weird to hear this music, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Well, I mean, of course, I hear, you know, like, you know, Van Halen or something, and I'm like, I can't believe it was that many years ago. So it happens no matter what age you are. You sort of can't believe that these little moments that you remember so well in high school.
Hey, the 90s are oldies now.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly right. Well, this is a fun thing. Have you been involved in all the different class reunions? Were you involved in the 10th? And
no, I wasn't. I was actually in England getting my master's degree during our 10th. And that was apparently a really fun event. They organized a whale watching boat tour. So, yeah, they just went out on the ocean and saw some really great whale activity, and which is really special, especially for, well, people that grew up here and people that moved away. And
or spouses that might come in and have always heard about Juno or something like that. Yeah, right.
Absolutely.
Right. That's a really fun thing to do. Did not being a part of the 10th really drive you to want to be a part of the 20th now that you're back in town?
No, I was kind of roped in when we were looking at event spaces. So I knew some of the ladies that were already starting and just, you know, work together. There's five of us that have a little group chat that's been going on for a couple months.
I have
now
to say, I've never been to any, and I've had many at this point, high school reunions. I've never been to one of them.
Oh, no.
I know. I moved far away. I graduated high school in Florida. So here I am in Alaska. You know, it's hard to get back to Florida for that kind of event. But what is it that, what's the thing that's driving you to want to make it happen and wanting to get back in touch with folks?
Well, we had a great class.
Yeah.
You know, I think that the opportunity to see the people from out of town and have them showcase some of their work. One of my friends that's visiting from Louisiana, from New Orleans, is a really accomplished saxophone player.
Oh,
and
wow.
I know that he and Clay Good are trying to make something happen.
Well, if Clay's involved, it'll happen.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so that's an opportunity to have Phil Morin come back and play in his alma mater. And I got involved, honestly, so I could have the opportunity to talk to some of the girls that were on the planning committee because I really love them. One of which is my first friend I ever had in my life, and she just happens to be on this committee. I think that just making sure that it was a good event, that we had a reasonable place to rent and one that was available, mm-hmm. because I know that a lot of the older generations book the better places. Sooner, but we thought the Crystal Saloon was perfect.
Names won't get mentioned. Crystal Saloon is perfect, especially for people that graduated in 2004. You're still ready for a party. People age, we're not ready for it. We want it. You know, yacht club maybe a little lower key.
I think you're giving us a lot more credit.
It's all right.
The millennials are tired too.
Seems so young to me, but still, yes, it's good. Tell me about a couple of the events or some of the events that you guys, how do you see the weekend developing here?
Yeah, so we saw the class of 2002 and 2003 scramble a little bit to get something together. And so we wanted to be planned for two events so we could have a family friendly event and then one where kids weren't necessarily invited. So on July 5th, which is Friday, we rented one of the Sandy Beach pavilions. So we'll be there from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. And it's just going to be a giant potluck.
It's going to be gorgeous tomorrow, too.
Yeah. Not tomorrow. But next week.
This is next week. Mm-hmm. All right. That's right. Sorry. I'm sorry. I jumped ahead.
Not tomorrow, Friday, but next Friday.
Next Friday, the 5th, of course. So this is a July 5th happening. Well, good luck. Hopefully the weather will be great for you. I'm sure it'll be fine no matter what.
We have the pavilion. That's right. A big open space, yeah. And that's a great resource.
Either you'll be hanging out in the sun and all that, or you'll be gathered inside around a nice roaring fire.
Exactly.
It'll be super fun.
Exactly.
Anywhere you want to go.
Yeah. So we're actually asking.
And by the way, any self-respecting person who graduated from JDHS should not worry about the weather at Sandy Beach. Am I right?
Absolutely. We didn't wear coats.
That's right. It was shorts.
You were the generation that refused to wear coats. We were wearing t-shirts, some hoodies and jeans and torrential downpours. Right. So we should be able to handle this.
Yeah, that should be good. All right. So that's happening Friday night. That's at the Sandy Beach shelter.
Yes.
Okay. And then, as you said, there's also that's one that's all families. Everyone's invited. Going to have a great time.
So it's going to be a big potluck. Yeah. We're going to have some meat brought and grilled. But then we're asking people last names and we'll just stick to maiden names. Last names A through G will do salads. H through R will do sides. And then S through Z do desserts and or drinks. Also, I know that we've done a lot of interviews with me being involved with disc golf. I wanted to put on a little disc golf workshop for the kids to give them something fun to do. And of course, the parents are more than welcome to try it as well. We'll probably start that around 5 p.m.
That's perfect. You got the course right there.
Exactly.
You just walk right in. And
exactly.
Yeah, that's going to be great.
So we'll do a little skills workshop and I'll show them how to putt and how to throw. And then we'll go and play a couple holes.
Yeah, very good. All right. And then for adults only, Crystal Saloon the next night.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yeah. So I don't know if you guys have been to the Crystal Saloon, but during their giant renovation, they made the upstairs look like an enormous rec room.
I go there so much. I love pinball. That Jaws pinball machine is the best.
I love it. I'm not necessarily a pinballer, but I'm a Galaga freak.
Okay. Yes.
And it's so fun. And I also love playing pool. So there's lots of activities for
everyone. Can I ask you something quickly? Can we diverge for a minute here?
Absolutely.
In Galaga, mm-hmm. do you keep the double shoot?
I knew you were going to ask me this for some reason. I was just like, he's about to ask me about the double. I never go for the double.
You don't go for the double.
I don't. I feel like it's more cumbersome.
And it's distract to me. I go for the double and I always am looking up there and a stray gets me.
Yep.
Every
absolutely.
Time. Yeah.
Yep. I'm with you.
I've, as you can imagine, I've played Galaga for decades longer than you could possibly have played Galaga. And I'm still terrible at it. Mm-hmm. Terrible at it.
Well,
I have friends who are so good at it. I think there's a pattern a little bit.
It is. You know? There's a pattern right. And there's just a movement that you kind of get used to. I've played lots of hours of Galaga drinking PBR in Portland when I was younger. Yeah. So that's where I actually got my chops.
Galaga and Centipede. Mm. The other one. Oh, man, I love Centipede. Okay. Like I said, we went back to the reunion. So is this going to be this is going to be all in the upstairs?
Yeah, they're having
that's
a show downstairs.
Okay.
Right at 9:00. And I'm so sorry I don't have it in front of me, but they're going to put on a great show that everybody can wander down if they want and buy tickets to that. Or we can go bar hopping to the Imperial and the Alaskan and the Lucky Lady like we always used to.
I think people who are visiting town especially will love that idea of like mm-hmm. a night of just kind of bar hopping around. And that's just such a part of being downtown in Juneau.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah.
This is a great group too.
Yeah, that's really cool. Were you, when you were in high school, like, were you one of the organizer type people in high school too? Did you do events and stuff like that? Or is this something now that you've kind of come back around to?
I was not involved, no. I was more like the choir geek girl in the alternative friend group.
Sure.
We had a lot of colored hair and piercings and tattoos in my friend group. But I wasn't part of the organizers, but I was always available in case they needed an extra hand.
Yeah, yeah, right, right. But I mean, these kind of clicky things that we think about that happen in high school. Did you think that your class, was it kind of clicky or?
It was a little clicky, but like when we all got out of high school, none of that mattered because we all grew up together,
right,
you know?
Yeah.
Like, and I went to Gastineau for the first couple of years and then Harborview for the next couple of years and then DZ. So I got to know a lot of different kids from a lot of different areas of town and whatnot. So I actually recognize a lot of my fellow classmates. I just scanned all of our senior photos and yeah.
It's such a cool thing to think about how that works. My kid was raised in Juneau. She's in her 30s now, you know, but she like that what you're saying is exactly right. Like she knows so many kids mm-hmm. that like I don't recognize them as having been friends of hers.
No.
And maybe they weren't great friends in high school, but they knew each other or they went to Harborview or they went to or they started in preschool together.
Well,
that kind of thing.
I don't know if you remember, but DZ, some of the houses, they just threw all the 6th, 7th, and 8th graders all in the same classes. So a lot of my friends are also a year younger. You're older. I think that was really great about JDHS and Juneau is that you know people from not just your year, but the years around.
Yeah, that's true. And that even carried through to some of the Harborview. I remember classes were either.
Yeah.
Two
I was in Dave
grade.
Paz's class in 3rd and 4th grade. And yeah, there's kids from all sorts of years that were in them.
Hey, speaking of that, are there some teachers involved at all? Have you gotten in touch with any teachers that are going to be part of any of the events or?
I was just talking to Clay Good because they did a little workshop where 12-year-old boys created little tiny houses and they had wind generation and all sorts of cool stuff involved. And so some of the architects that I work with all went down to do a little critique for them at the AELMP building. And I talked to them about coming to this event. I was like, oh God, it'd be so great to have Mr. Good walk in.
He was famously the cool teacher,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, of course. But we had a lot of cool teachers.
Was it physics that he taught?
He taught oceanography for my class.
Right.
Yeah, I know Miss Reyes is still around. And yeah, it's fun.
A lot of those teachers are still, I mean, I still see teachers who my daughter, had and I think it was such a good group, really.
Yeah,
you know?
I saw Miss Soltes just the other day with her son at the Jack selling his artwork.
Well, that was fun. I mean, in the times that I've seen, I've just caught up on Facebook with the reunions, you know, I sort of see and seeing some of the teachers is kind of cool too, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And we all look alike. It's so
weird. Seeing them in a different light in a way too, you know? Maybe as a teacher, it wasn't your favorite, but then you realize later, oh, well, they were, you know, they were a person just doing their job.
I think after everybody leaves high school, they realize, oh, we're just people.
We're all just people, weirdly. But you saw each other through your larval stage.
Yeah, exactly. And some people look exactly the same. I have the same hair. It's a little bizarre, but some people look totally different. Sure. Some men grew beards and you don't recognize them, but everybody still has the same eyes.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's right. That's funny to think about that, too.
Also,
it's interesting to think about how people too can be still connected via social media in a way that's a little bit more than my generation.
Exactly.
You know? Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be interesting catching up with all these people because some of them are active on Instagram or Facebook. I already know kind of what they're up to, but some of them I absolutely don't. But one of the other things that I wanted to mention is that we're going to have a little table with all of our fallen classmates,
okay,
the ones that we've lost.
Sure.
And I think that's going to be really special. We're going to have a little memorial for our newly departed, like Danny Clark and Brett Van Allen, and also, Jimmy Brown and Casey Newman, who were involved with an accident together. And just, you know, thinking back on these really spectacular people and being able to cherish them.
And just acknowledging these, this way life goes. I mean, you know, that's something that happens through all of our lives, throughout our lives. We
Absolutely.
Lose people and it's great to have these little moments where we are able to remember them mm-hmm. in a kind of a nice way with a group of friends to think about them and remember them. That's a really nice touch.
Yeah.
Well, anything that people need, I know there's a mention that there was a possibility of babysitting that might happen, or maybe it's not going to happen.
Yeah. And so we have on our Facebook group, it's Class of 2004 Facebook group. It's private, so just try to add yourself and we'll okay you. There might be some babysitting. I need to check in with Becca Gagin, who Rebecca Gagin was our class president, and she is the one that's been talking about doing some babysitting. And that will be on our website. So we have an Eventbrite website as well, and the link is available on the Facebook group.
Well, really cool. Well, it sounds super fun. Anything else that you want people to know if they're listening or might have been part of your class and this is the first they're hearing of it?
I just wanted to shout out that we are selling tickets. We sold enough tickets, so we covered the rental space. And now if anybody else just wants to buy a ticket, it will just be for the catering. Because I don't know if you know this, but Crystal Saloon does catering now.
Oh, yes, I did know this. They have the amazing pizzas and other stuff.
Pizzas and appetizers and stuff like that. So we are making it $20 to cover the catering cost. And the day of, if you want to just show up at the Crystal Saloon, just pay as you can, because we don't want anything to prohibit you from coming and hanging out with your fellow
classmates. Everyone's
going
to want to see you.
Exactly.
Everyone wants to see you, man.
Exactly. And we know that times are tight right now. And so we don't want, you know, if you just had a baby and you're like, oh, $20 could go to diapers or that. Come eat some food. Have a drink. We'd love to see you.
Yeah, that sounds great. Well, Shannon, so fun to talk to you about something that's not Frisbee. Well, I like talking to you about disc golf, of course, but it's great to see you in another capacity as
Thank you.
And again, it's the JDHS 20th reunion anniversary reunion. It's happening. And
Class of 2004.
Class of 2004. Woo! And Friday, July 5th and Saturday, July 6th are when the events are happening. You've been listening to Juno Afternoon. Thanks so much for joining us.
KTOO Juno and KAUK Juno Ok Bay.